Well, that was One More Day, the K-pop version of the Giorgio Moroder hit. And Veronica's going to explain why we played this Korean pop song.
Well, it's tied in with a Korean food story that is coming up. It's proving that Korean food is very, very popular in Australia, and some even extol the virtues of their fermentation process as a health benefit. Graham Kemlow speaks with Jennifer Doherty, marketing manager of the Korean Tourism Organization, about foodie tours to Seoul and the different regional centers that all have their own speciality. And that is not all spicy, garlicky, or salty cabbage.
Well, Jennifer Doherty is in Sydney. She's marketing manager of the Korea Tourism Organization. Jen, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Yes.
It's lovely to have you there. Now,
thank you very much.
This is the segment of the show where we talk about food.
Yes.
And Korean cuisine is incredibly popular and growing in popularity, I believe, here in Australia and in other parts of the world. And the US particularly loves its Korean cuisine on the West Coast. So it's probably not unusual that people might go to visit Korea just for the cuisine alone.
Absolutely.
And you sent through information this week about two specific tours that highlight Korean food and are available through Intrepid and also through Gecko's Adventures. But can we just maybe talk, let's get a few of the myths out of the way that all Korean food is basically built around kimchi.
Yes, a lot of people do think that because kimchi is the most iconic Korean food, and Koreans normally eat that three times a day with their meals.
Mm.
It takes, for foreigners visiting Korea, it takes a little time to get used to this fermented pickled cabbage, but once you do, it's very enjoyable with barbecue and so on. But Korean food is very popular with foreigners going to Korea. It's one of the number one reasons, not only from Asia, from Japanese visiting Korea, Chinese, Malaysians, but also Westerners, Australians, and from US, etc.
Yeah.
So it's a huge reason that people travel to Korea nowadays, and that's mostly because of the experience of Korean food that we can have nowadays in Australia.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that there's been a large movement in food generally towards fermented products.
Correct.
And, you know, the Koreans have been doing this for, well, if I
thousands
said thousands
of
years.
Years,
right?
Correct.
And I've been there a couple of times, as you well know.
Yes.
And basically to see those pots that sit out on people's balconies,
that's
which
right.
is where the fermentation is taking place, is quite fascinating. And women get married partly because of their ability to make kimchi, don't
Absolutely,
they?
Absolutely, that's true.
So don't worry about if they got a lot of money. Are they any good at making kimchi?
Yes, making kimchi.
Yeah. The other thing I found fascinating, Jennifer, is that kimchi isn't just the fermented cabbage. There are hundreds of versions of it. And
Absolutely.
I've had 20, I suppose, in the different trips I've taken. Some almost look like pale tea.
Yes, that's right.
Is there a number? How many of them are there, do you know?
Oh,
how many versions?
There could be hundreds.
Right.
Because there is even a museum devoted to kimchi in downtown Seoul. And, yeah, there is like kimchi made with cucumber and radish. And according to the seasons, you know, they eat different kinds of kimchi.
Yeah.
So there is even a white kimchi which has absolutely no chili paste on it and the chili powder.
Right.
So it's a very mild one. If people don't like spicy food, that's one of the ones you can go for.
Okay. And I think once when I was there, we went, if I'm not mistaken, we had some royal food.
Yes, and royal cuisine.
It had no pungent elements. It didn't have garlic or any of the or onion or any of those things in it. Can you explain that to me?
That's mostly the temple food.
Right.
The Korean Buddhist temple food, they don't have any garlic or any onion in their vegetarian diets.
Right.
And the royal cuisine is more based on the cuisine that they served the king and queen many years ago. So you can enjoy, like many of these, the royal cuisine is a banquet menu. So this is usually served with like up to 20 or more side dishes.
I had a lot of bowls around me, I know that.
Yes, this is one of the most exciting things of eating Korean food is all the mystery of these side dishes.
Yeah.
You know, there are all kinds of things like the royal acorn jelly, and, you know, mysterious things that you don't really know what they are. But majority are vegetables and, you know, nuts, ginkgo nuts and all kind of things.
I have to say, I am more adventurous than I once was with food.
Yes.
There's never been a piece of Korean food that I had to remove from my mouth.
Right.
I did choose on one trip not to bite into the moth in its cocoon.
Oh, okay, the silkworm larvae.
Yeah, and
yes,
one of the guys...
the mountains. No, I've never tried that as well.
Well, one of the journos from the US, from the West Coast, who was on this, not the last trip I did, but the one prior to that,
yes,
he bit into it, but when the green liquid ran down his chin, that turned the rest of us off totally.
Yes, I've seen this, especially if you go trekking in the mountains. It's very common to buy a paper cup of this, but it's something that I couldn't try.
No.
Along with the live octopus. But I've heard that that's very good.
Well, I have had live food.
Yeah,
yeah, but look, they, is it Ikijima? Maybe it's called something else in Korea, but
yes.
I think they basically skewer the thing.
Yes.
And if it's moving, it's probably just nervous tension, I think.
Yeah, no, in Korea they tend to bring out whole octopus and then just cut it up in front of you and it's wriggling all over the table.
Poor octopus.
So the most difficult thing is to get that on your chopsticks and then get it into your mouth and then it'll possibly stick to the top of your mouth.
Oh, dear.
So it can be great fun. I've read one of the best stories I've ever read about a journalist visiting Korea trying to eat this live octopus.
Okay. Well, that would certainly be something different.
Yes.
When you go there, what do you tend to go for? You're an Aussie like me. What do
Main reason I would go to Korea these days is food.
Yeah, but what particular food do you like to eat?
I love traveling around the countryside and you can enjoy all the regional cuisines.
Right.
So Korea is very unique. There is just never-ending variety of dishes.
Yeah.
So if you go to one particular, Mungyeong in the mountains, you can experience a pine mushroom dish where they grow the mushroom in the pine forest. And these mushrooms are very expensive.
Yeah.
And they cook it together with a beef hot pot.
Okay.
And I've never forgotten that dish.
Oh, well, that sounds...
I'm hoping to go back and have another time.
Yeah, and of bibimbap is pretty popular there too, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yes.
The rice and vegetables.
Correct. Jeonju is the city, which is just 1.5 hours south of Seoul.
I think we went there.
Yes.
On our last trip.
Yes, you have, I think, visited there.
Yeah.
And it's a great city because there is a 400-year-old traditional village where people still dress in traditional costume.
Yep.
And Jeonju is the best regional food in Korea.
It was beautiful, I must say, the food at Jeonju.
Yes.
And we also went to the Golguksa Temple in Gyeongju.
Yes,
place.
Outside Gyeongju. This is quite famous temple.
A wooden temple.
Absolutely, where you can enjoy the temple stay program.
Yep.
And it's famous for the martial arts there.
Yeah, the temple stay, that you've got to get up very early in the morning.
Yes.
When the bell tolls.
Did you experience this at 4 a.m. and do 108 bows?
No, but we were there in the middle of the day just on our itinerary at one in Seoul.
Yes.
And all of this was going on with a group who'd been there since the night before.
Right.
And were, you know, paying penance, I suppose you'd say, for all the sins they might have committed in the outside world. It looked really interesting, but unfortunately our itinerary didn't allow us to stay and do that. Maybe next time.
Yes, absolutely.
And I must mention the seafood. If you want seafood, the place to go is Busan, isn't it?
Correct.
The southern port.
That's right.
Second largest city. And
absolutely.
It's a wonderful place.
It's got the most famous fish market in all of, in Asia. It's one of the largest.
Yeah.
It's called Jagalchi.
Yep.
And this market, it's absolutely huge and you can enjoy the seafood there easily, very cheaply, and you can just purchase your fish and there's places to have it cooked and you can eat it there. So, this is really popular tourist destination in Busan.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. When I first went there, I'm sure they used to call it Pusan with a P.
That's correct.
Did the name get changed officially at some point? God, it was confusing.
Some years ago,
All
of the Korean cities, the Korean alphabet was romanized.
Yep.
So the name of the cities in Korea were changed somewhat.
Wow.
So
just to confuse us.
Exactly, Busan. Yeah, with a B. It was Busan with a P, and it was changed to Busan with a B.
Yeah.
But there are some other places that were the names, like Gyeongju, that were changed quite dramatically.
Right.
So, yes, some people still get confused because on all maps, you can still read some of the old names.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was recent, only maybe after the Olympic Games sometime, yeah. When the alphabet was Romanized.
Old episodes of MASH are just not right anymore.
Yes.
Now, Jennifer, just to reiterate the two adventure tours, if you can call them that, around food. You've got the Intrepid Travel. Now, they're a pretty broadly based organisation.
Yes.
Where does theirs go to and from?
Their tour travel.
They're all out of Australia, aren't they? Out of Sydney?
Yes, correct. Right. Yes. So you actually join the tour in Seoul, like you do most of Intrepid's tours around the world.
Yep.
So you get yourself to the city. You might be travelling to other destinations as well. And then you join the tour, and in Korea, then they visit all of these major regional food places, like many of them that we've just discussed, like Jeonju and Busan and Gyeongju. Yep.
Well, I can recommend those regional cities. They were fantastic.
Yes.
In fact, one place had the best convention centre and the best restaurant, and I write in that area, as you know.
Yes.
The best restaurant I've ever seen in any convention centre anywhere in the world, and I've seen a few.
Wow.
Had a grand piano, and it had chefs cooking live at stations around. It was fantastic.
Where was that?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
In Busan?
No, it was one of the others. It may have been Jeonju, actually.
Jeonju, yes, because all of these cities in Korea, the major cities and tourist cities, have major convention and meeting venues.
Yeah.
So, it's huge.
It was very impressive.
Many of them were all built, following the Olympic Games and even up to year 2000. And, there were so many built around the country that are all only about 20 years old now.
Okay. Now, the other one interests me, the Gecko's Adventures 9-Day South Korea Kimchi Festival Tour.
That's right.
Is there a festival? That's at the end of the year.
Yes. Correct. That's the Seoul Kimchi Festival.
Right.
So in Korea, there are a couple of major kimchi festivals. So normally in October, due to the kimchi making season. So this is the time when families traditionally make all the kimchi for the coming winter.
Right.
Yes.
So that would definitely be worth seeing. That is quite an ancient tradition.
Yes.
And, I mean, they use refrigerated things now.
Absolutely.
So it's slightly changed.
They've got special refrigerator for kimchi.
Just for kimchi.
They don't put kimchi in the normal fridge because of the smell.
No. And I understand it. And I've gotten quite used to the kimchi, I have to say, and I really do quite enjoy it.
Well, that's good.
Jennifer, lovely to have you on the line. I think there's a little bit of the myth busting we've done today on South Korean food. It's not all red hot and sour cabbage.
Yes.
But it's definitely worth a visit, whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater.
Yes,
so thanks for being with us.
Yes, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
That was Jennifer Doherty.